Welcome to Mornings with Pat and Amy for Monday, June 8th, 2020. On today's show, it was a very slow and uneventful week for me last week. For those of you listening, you're probably like, is he going to talk about it? Yeah, I'll talk about it a little bit. The good news in the world, and we'll give you that, and my kids' very weird behavior right now, and I do mean weird, but first, Amy, with some of the news that happened over the weekend. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Pat. Thousands of diverse people rallied and marched peacefully in downtown Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo this past weekend in the wake of George Floyd's death at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer.
I covered the protests in downtown Rochester on Friday. I was down there for 4 hours. And it was great. If I'm being honest, it was great. It got contentious a couple times with the cops that were there.
Okay.
But it was peaceful. No one threw anything. They said some naughty language, but I mean, that's it. You may disagree with what people are protesting about, which I think you're living under a rock if you do, but nothing bad happened. Nothing bad happened all weekend unless, you know, something happened really late last night that I missed, but it's going just fine up here.
Yeah.
No major problems. It was really moving, and I highly suggest anybody who really doesn't understand or is confused or doesn't get it, you should go. People will talk to you in a peaceful manner, and they will inform you, and you will learn something, I promise.
Two Buffalo police officers have been charged with assaulting a 75-year-old protester. A video shows them shoving the man at a demonstration over the death of George Floyd. Their victim fell and hit his head hard. He was bleeding from the back of his head and ears while he lay motionless. 32-year-old Robert McCabe and 39-year-old Aaron Torgalski were suspended without pay and pled not guilty. 57 emergency response officers resigned to show support for the two police officers.
The man is very frail. Some people think the video is fake. It is not. He is a peaceful protester. He has been at many rallies throughout Buffalo over the many, many years that things have happened. A kind man who simply got shoved, fell over, and hit his head. Did they mean to do that to him? No. Should they have pushed a 75-year-old man who really did nothing wrong other than go up to the police and say, hey, calm down, man? No, they shouldn't have done that either. And the 57 emergency response officers who resigned, in my opinion, good riddance. Glad that we got 57 racists out of the Buffalo Police Department. Peace. Bye.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell admits they handled the Colin Kaepernick kneeling situation the wrong way. In a statement, he said, "We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe that Black Lives Matter."
And did it bother you when Kaepernick kneeled?
No. Not at all.
To this day, I always hear people say, my father fought for that flag. Yeah, so that people could live free and they could express their opinions freely. And when something's nonviolent, you don't have to like it. It's fine if you don't like it.
Right.
But to denounce it and make the man not have a job anymore in the league, and he was an okay quarterback. He wasn't amazing, but he was good. To act like it was the end of the world, I just never understand. I don't understand that. And my dad fought in NAM, and he fought for that flag, and I think it's everybody's right to protest against it when they don't feel like they're being heard. So I just never understood the problem.
People protesting Nike too, which I don't get it.
I don't either. Well, I mean, they had their...
I mean, I get why.
Right, but it's like, oh, okay. I mean... There are reasons to protest Nike over, you know, like where they get their shoes from and where they have them made.
But children labor.
Right. That you should protest Nike over. Colin Kaepernick taking knee. Not so much. Not so much. Nope. I didn't see anybody boycotting Nike when Tiger Woods, you know, had affairs. I didn't see anybody boycotting Nike when all sorts of other athletes did bad things that wore their shoes and wear their stuff. So, what a stupid thing to boycott Nike over, in my opinion. Anyway.
Governor Cuomo says New York high school graduations can begin outdoors starting June 26th with limitations. And here's the catch. The total size of the crowd must be 150 people or smaller. Cuomo always warned that the policy could change depending on the spread of the coronavirus.
I mean, some schools can do that.
Yes.
Some can't.
No. Could your high school have done that?
Mine could have. I think there was 148 that graduated. So in my class. So we could have done it. But, you know, with no parents, though. I mean, it would have been no parents. So, like, no one, we could have shown up. No one else could have shown up. So I guess no. I guess we couldn't have done it.
I graduated with like 512. So modest. That would not have worked for us.
I mean, so they're going to have to do it like alphabetically.
We were at the War Memorial.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And some of these, you know, look, some of these schools are big. And 150, a class of 150 really isn't that big.
No, so, that's small.
You know, I mean, it's good that they're going to be able to do something. It's just, again, I think schools just need to wait for like phase four to happen and maybe do something then.
Yeah, I would agree with that. J.K. Rowling is facing backlash after she posted controversial tweets about transgender people. The Harry Potter author criticized an opinion piece that used the phrase, and I quote, people who menstruate, saying, if sex isn't real, the lived?
Yeah, I think.
Reality, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth. Frankly, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I think she's saying, I think she's saying you have to have a defined gender, male or female, and you can't live this ambiguous. I think that's what she's saying. I'm a little confused.
It's
you know?
One of those things like, did you read it over? Did we proofread before we hit tweet? Because I'm confused.
I guess she's spoken out about stuff like this before. I don't have a problem. If you're a man and you decide you're a woman, then become a woman. If you're a woman and you want to become a man, become a man. If you don't want to be either and you want to be androgynous, then be androgynous. I just don't care. I just literally do not care. It affects my life zero. If my kid became trans, it would affect my life zero. I'd be more concerned about my kid and just how they're handling being someone in that, make sure that they're in a healthy position, not because they've made that decision, but because the world can be bad. I just don't care. And I don't know why she cares. And I just don't see it her way. If I think I know what she's trying to say, I think it's stupid. And I want the author of Harry Potter to write more Harry Potter books and shut her mouth. So. So, Amy, I had a very calm, uneventful week. Last week.
Yeah. Calm is not the word that comes to my mind.
Boy.
But okay.
For those of you listening to this right now, because you're thinking, he's probably going to talk about it. Sure, I'll talk about it. Okay. I worked for a show. On my second day of that show went full dumbass and said dumbass things. Which I called out.
You did.
Because it was stupid and racist. And I didn't want to let that happen. I was very uncomfortable, thus the high pitch of my voice.
I noticed that.
Jim Norton made fun of me. Jim Norton and whichever Opie and Anthony character he has a show with on Sirius made fun of me. And that's fine. I'm not mad about that or anything. They're right. I sounded ridiculous.
They were talking about you?
Yeah, they were talking about the whole situation. They were hoping I didn't get fired, which was nice of them. I did not. I was very, very uncomfortable because so when this happened, my job was to screen phone calls and do a bunch of audio stuff. So I had just come back in the room. I was on the phone with a listener screening a phone call. When I heard something and my oh crap meter in my brain went off because I knew it wasn't good. And then it was said again. And that's when I took off, not fully hearing exactly what was said, just knowing something evolving race had happened and it was bad, which is when I went into it. And then she said it again. And that's when I got a little bit more serious about it. You know how you have family who do stupid crap?
Yes.
And they say, do, act, even believe stupid crap, but you love them because they're family.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel toward them. Always have. Still do. Do I think they're racist? Not knowingly. I think they're dumb. And I think that they don't understand what racism is. Because I think if they did, they would have never said those things. I truly don't think in my heart of hearts they have the capacity to truly understand what racism is and what constitutes and what you can and can't say. That is no excuse for a single thing that was said.
Funny that you say this, though, because I feel like this is a lot of older white people.
Oh, it is.
Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
They just truly do not get it.
Right. And they haven't made an effort. See, this is something I've talked a lot about people with over the last almost week, is that understanding racism when you are a white person who grew up in the burbs around other white people and live in the burbs still around other white people, it takes work. You're not expected to be perfect. You're not expected to totally get it. You will never be, as they say, woke unless you live in it, and you probably won't, and no one's asking you to. But you're supposed to work at it and try. And that takes a lot. And I think everyone needs to make that effort if they haven't already. And I think that people in their age bracket and older just don't. They just don't do it. They've never had to. And it's the old, my grandma says racist things, but she's not a grand. And she, you know, they're not as old as my grandparents, but it's my old dad says racist things, not mine, but, you know, people's dad or mom who say racist things, but you know they're not racist. They're just ignorant. And
it's kind of like the grandma from Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
And they just let it slide because she's old as dirt.
Right. It's kind of that.
Yeah.
And as every year goes by, that the boomers and the older Xers are going away. And the younger Xers and on are taking over, thank God, when it comes to this stuff anyway. And it's going away, but it's going to take time. I want to thank so many people for reaching out and saying thank you for speaking up on our behalf as in people of color. You don't need to thank me. Thank you. I appreciate it, but I didn't do anything that everyone should do what I did. It's just that simple. It was uncomfortable because it is. People that you care about and like are saying things that are horrific. And they're doing it live on the air. I wasn't going to not do it. And I didn't do it. Some people asked if I did it, you know, to play a character. No, that was my honest reaction in the moment to it. Some people asked me if it was scripted. No, nothing on that show is scripted. My old co-host, Paul Guglielmo, really pissed me off because he did a podcast saying that the show is somewhat scripted. Paul is just not right. I still love Paul. He's a good guy, and I have nothing against him. He's just wrong, factually, and I don't know why he said that. He's just wrong. There is no... I mean, do they have an idea of topics they're going to have? Sure. Do we sit there and talk about exactly... Did I, on my second day there, talk about exactly what we're going to talk about and why? No. No. There was no point where we said, you know what we should say on the air that'll really get people upset? No, there was nothing like that.
No.
That has never been the case ever. Nor if it was, I would have never okayed that. The other thing people were confused about, producers in radio are not like producers in Hollywood. Producers in Hollywood hire people and approve scripts and fire people. That's not what producers in radio do. Radio producers are gophers who run around for the talent. They're not. They have no power. I have no power.
You answer phone calls. You do audio. Yeah.
I go, yes. Sure. I'll go do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. Some of you are wondering, well, but you did all these other radio things. Yes, I took a massive, massive step backward to find a full-time job in this business and in general. And I am humbled by that, and that's fine. So, look, what they did was absolutely 100% wrong, and there's no excuse for it. And I'm not going to make an excuse. Whether they're idiots, whether they're racist, whether they're both, it's irrelevant. What they did is wrong, and no one should say those things or think that way, period. And that's why they were fired, and rightfully so. And their careers are probably over, and that's their problem.
Is it, though? Are they? Because they said some pretty gross stuff back in, what, 2014?
Yeah.
I heard about that when I was living in North Carolina.
I wasn't there for that, so everyone knows. I wasn't around.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't the producer of the show. I wasn't even part of the company then, that company. But this is twice now, like
in, that's what I mean. Like
in 6 or 7 years. Right.
Please do not put them back in front of mics. Cause that's just,
I've talked to both of them for the record. I've talked to both. I think they know what they did was wrong. Right. Well, but it's important that people learn
their mistakes. That's a freaking hard lesson to learn.
Yeah. And it doesn't make up for it, but I think they know they're wrong. And I think they accept, they didn't, from what I understand, they didn't fight about being fired or anything. They understand it, and they understand why they were fired, and that's how it is. So, as far as what happens to them next, I have no idea. I have no control over that. I had nothing to do with them at all, other than I just made my response. So, I'm still employed. What happens next? Don't know. Right now, doing news for Wham 1180. Happy to do it. Like I said, covered the Black Lives Matter rally in Rochester on Friday. That was awesome. You'll hear me do news stuff there for a while until we figure out what's next. And don't ask. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea. So we'll find out. I go where the wind blows me. Giggity. And that's how that's going to go. So, thanks to everybody who thanked me, didn't have to do it. And, yes, it was super awkward and uncomfortable and unfortunate for them, but that's what happens when you say racist crap on the air. And so, things I never planned to do, nor would I do. I don't know. Is there anything else I can add? Is there anything else I haven't covered? Is there anything else you want to ask me or?
No, because what I want to ask you, you don't know the answer to.
Right. So
I'm sitting here. I'm doing a lot of nodding. So
yeah, it's weird seeing your name on NBC News.
Yeah,
it's strange.
This isn't where I thought my career would be. Not where I thought I'd be mentioned in national news.
Friggin' 2 days into the show. 2 days.
Yeah, I know, right? Day two. Well, I panicked when I found out. I was like, oh. That's when I, I immediately texted you, and I was like, let's see, I texted you, I house partied you, I called you.
Yep.
It was this close to sending like a passenger pigeon, like, call me when you can, what is happening?
And I was busy. I had a lot of people doing that. But I got back to you. I got back to you sooner than almost everybody.
You did, which I appreciate.
One more thing I want to add, and I really mean this. Corporations can do bad things. And corporations can be awful. I do want to say that, and I'm not saying, no one has told me to talk about any of this, that iHeartMedia, who I work for, really does take a hard stance against this stuff. They always have. This is a company that has a special logo and partakes in all the major Pride weeks around the country. This is a company that really does make an effort to be part of these social movements, and not for business sake. They do it because it's the right thing to do. And there was no hesitation by them to get rid of them. So, you know, I just want to say that I think they did the right thing, and I applaud them. And I thank them for not firing me too. And as they said, for what? Right.
Yeah.
But it has been very interesting. And whatever happens next, I'll be sure to keep everyone in the loop, obviously. But I have no idea what that is. But thanks to everybody. And I think that's all I have to say about that.
Good news is there's usually something good going on in the news, and it's always good to hear. Deirdre Taylor was 4 years old when she was rescued from a burning building in New York City back in 1983. She hoped to reconnect with her rescuer as an adult, but after decades of searching, couldn't find him. Deirdre is now a nurse living in Virginia, and she returned to New York City to help save lives during the pandemic. And a group of firefighters paid a visit to thank healthcare workers. You see where this is going?
I do.
She showed them the newspaper article, and they knew her rescuer. Eugene is now 75, but had never forgotten Deirdre. He said to her, "You've been on my wall for 25 years. He said that when they connected on the phone. And because Deirdre saves lives from a contagious virus, they can't meet in person, but they've promised to meet as soon as it's safe." And that's cool. Just such a, like, that come full circle. Like, oh, he saved this little girl. She grew up. She's a nurse. She saves lives. Oh, it's amazing.
That's awesome. That they reconnected like that. That's really cool. And the fact that he remembered her, too, because, you know, there's just some people, I think, that stick with you in life, right? Even though, you know, he probably rescued dozens, if not hundreds of people in his life. So that's awesome, man. A fundraiser set up for George Floyd's daughter, Gianna, has raised over $1 million. The GoFundMe campaign was created to go toward the six-year-old's care and future. Donations continuing to pour in have reached nearly 1.5, actually, so far. They're probably up to 2 by now, which is really good. Wow. Obviously, George did not deserve to die, and his daughter doesn't deserve to be without a daddy. And so that's just really good news to see how people are stepping up for someone they don't even know and probably will never meet. But the fact they're doing that is pretty great. This weekend, my kid says, randomly, "I'm going to go upstairs. I want private time." Okay. This is not new.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I really hope this story is going where I think it is, because I have so much to add. Okay, go.
It's not, but that's part of it. But that's
okay,
part
go.
Of it.
Okay, go. Sorry. I'm just.
Now, he is almost 6, and I, even though I'm a boy, I did not know that at very young ages they want private time.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that. I don't remember wanting private time when I was that age. We, of course, give him private time because it's just the human body. And then he says something weird after being upstairs for a while. He says, "Can I have nail scissors?"
Oh, my God.
So we go, "For what?" "Nothing. I just want to look at him."
Oh.
Okay, are you going to cut something? Because you're not allowed to cut. I'm not going to cut anything. Because, buddy, if you're going to cut anything on your body, you're going to hurt yourself badly. We're going to have to go to the hospital. I'm not going to cut anything on my body. I promise, Daddy. I promise, Mommy. All right. So he gets nail scissors.
Like those tiny.
Tiny. And they're like rounded, actually. They're like, they really can't poke you or anything. They're the kids' ones. You know what I mean? Like the little kids' ones. Made for babies.
Okay.
So. Sometimes he goes by, it's dinner time. Buddy, it's dinner time. Okay, he comes downstairs. "Wash your hands." Okay. Washes his hands. So we go up to bed, and we see these little droplets of white cream on the floor. Now, before any of your heads go real weird, like Benadryl, like itch cream kind of cream.
Okay.
And we're like, what the...
Like hydrocortone. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Now, he has eczema, so we're like, did he put it on his leg? "Buddy, did you put cream on your leg?" "No." "What's this cream doing?" "I have no idea."
Oh, that's a big fat lie.
Okay.
But okay.
We go through the routine. He goes in his room, and Jesse notices there is white cream spread all around his bed. On his pillow. On his blanket. On one of his stuffed animals. On his floor. What is this, and why did this happen? I don't know.
Oh, he's committed. He's committed.
Okay.
He's part of the deny till you die crew.
Boy, is he ever.
Like, he's going to take it to the grave.
We're worried at this point because why is this everywhere, and what did you use? Because we can't figure out what it is. Mm-hmm. Because if it's medicated stuff, we're like, did you swallow this? Did you eat it? What did you do? We're instantly regretting allowing him to have private time. I don't know what I used. Okay, buddy, you have to tell us. It's important. I didn't use those. Well, you got it. Is it moisturizer? Yes, it's moisturizer. Okay, why is it on the floor? I was just going crazy. Okay. All right. Now, before I continue, some backstory. So this kid has this weird interest in diapers. Okay. I don't know what it is. And ever since we told him we were going to have a baby in particular, he's like wanted to regress and go back to diapers, which I'm told is also fairly common among kids. His favorite stuffed animal is a Daisy Duck, and he puts a diaper on Daisy Duck. It's his baby. It's kind of cute, actually. But a couple times he's like tried to put diapers on. We're like, no, you're potty trained. You don't put diapers on. What the hell are you doing? Also, I had bought some things for our baby that will be here any day and put it in her room. You know, some clothes, some baby aspirin or baby ibuprofen, you know, in case of or Tylenol, whatever it is, in case of a fever, butt paste, wipes, things like that.
Oh, no.
Which he was aware of. So it occurs to me.
Wait.
Yeah.
Boudreaux's butt paste?
Only the best.
For people that don't have babies, this is some thick cream that won't come off. Just throwing that out
there. So I go in there, I'm changing his sheets and all the stuff that he ruined, and I see it smeared all over the wall. I'm livid. He will not tell me what exactly was going on. It then dawns on me that I bought butt paste. I go in there. He had used the nail scissors to cut open the box to open the butt paste and use it all over his room.
Oh, honey.
On top of this, for some reason, boy, does it smell. It smells off in his room. It just doesn't smell good in his room. And we're like, did you pee somewhere or poop somewhere? No. Like, you really need to tell me this. No. Did you, like, go? He's got, like, this mountain of stuffed animals. Did you go to potty over there? No, I didn't, Daddy. I'm sniffing over there. I don't smell it over there. And then I open, he's got a garbage can in his room. And I open the garbage can to find several diapers that have been used, peed, and pooped in by this child.
Oh, Rory.
He has lied about the nail scissors. He has lied about the cream. He has lied about why he's using the cream. He has lied about the diapers. He has lied. There are so many lies here.
How long has he been doing it? How many diapers were in there?
Four.
All from one day?
I'm thinking over a few days.
Okay.
He had actually, there was a old box of diapers in his closet. They were very high. Somehow he got up and got them. I'm not really sure how, but he did. So, the long and short of it is he will never have tablet time again. I don't know what this is. I assume this is a reaction to baby coming.
Probably.
And him regressing and, like, being scared. Like, yesterday, I set up the bassinet. We have a bassinet in our room for the baby. Because, you know, I mean, anybody who's have a baby knows you can put him in their crib. But that's adorable. When you're stressed, you're trying to breastfeed.
I had a bassinet, too. I loved it.
Just put the baby. Auto rocks, by the way. Holy God. What an invention. And so I put that up. So I find out while I'm out yesterday picking up more things for baby in hospital that he had crawled into the bassinet and knocked it over. The bassinet is not broken. When asked why he crawled in here, he said he didn't. He just somehow ended up there.
Oh, oh my God. He just...
Thoughts? Suggestions? Anything?
Oh, man. See, when I had my son, when I had Henry, Hannah was almost two. So the age different, you know, I didn't have a kid that had, you know, so many years, you know, so I never had the problem with regressing. They were both basically babies at the same time for the most part. Oh man. Have you Googled? Have you Dr. Googled it?
Because that's fairly common. I mean, not this exact behavior, but like some of it, though, is pretty common. Psychologically, it's normal. It's just weird and mm-hmm. concerning and weird.
It is.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, what? So I told them today, I told them yesterday, because I'm thinking, because I talked to him this morning about this too, but I talked to him yesterday and I said, you know, bud, are you worried about not being the baby anymore? And he said, yeah.
Oh.
And I said, you know, you're always going to be our favorite little boy, right? Which is easy when you're a parent, because he is our favorite little boy. Because
I do that with my kids too.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, and it's also true. He is always going to be our favorite. I mean, and he's our first child. That's a special thing. Like that's mm-hmm. That's always going to be true. And I said, buddy, you're always, always going to be the most important little guy in the world to us. It's never going to change. And just because you're having a sister and you're going to be a baby in the house doesn't mean that we don't love you and doesn't mean you're not going to get attention. It just means it's just going to be a little different. You need to be a big boy and a big brother. I said, okay, daddy. And he gave me a huge hug.
Something I say to Henry, I mean, because Henry is younger than Hannah, I say to him at least once a day is, you know, who's my favorite boy?
Mm-hmm.
Me. Mm-mm. That's right. You got it. Who's my favorite boy? Me. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not your husband, because I mean,
no, he's not my favorite,
and I'm not my wife's favorite either. I'm gonna tell you that right now. No, it's Rory.
It, you know, I was worried about like sharing love when I had kids. Not worried about that anymore because I don't share it. I don't share. That's not true. Knowing that my children come first for my husband is great. And he obviously knows that they come first for me. Like that's mm-hmm. the end. But yeah, maybe something like, you know, like a repetitive, you know, something that you say where he can respond back and then kind of play up that, you know, we're going to need your help. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, like you have some special jobs.
Yep, which we've been doing. Yep.
I was going to say, maybe, you know, you probably have already thought about this, but like have something like a special big brother gift when mm-hmm. the baby comes.
That's a good idea.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, there's books. I'm always such a huge proponent of books. There's mm-hmm. a book called I'm a Big Sister. There's probably one called I'm a Big Brother.
Probably. There's probably many because it's probably a harder transition.
Probably.
Yeah, and I should probably do that. Too bad Barnes & Noble isn't open right now. So I would totally do that.
That's what online shopping is for.
I know, but you never know when it's going to get here. Anyway, that's the weird crap going on in my house. What a week.
Yeah. My kid lies still all the time.
They lie a lot.
Oh, they do.
And they're so bad at it.
Oh, so bad. Henry can't look me in the face and he can't stop smiling.
Oh,
and then he'll cry because he's smiling. Like, oh, okay, good one.
Oh no.
But yeah, so how I thought this story was gonna go didn't go that way.
Where'd you think it was gonna go?
Well, I have known that little kids, you know, discover their bodies mm-hmm. and find out what feels good, and they have no idea. Like, it's not a sexual thing for little ones. Like,
no,
it's just, oh, this feels nice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this mm-hmm. till I'm red in the face and like, whatever. Or you're, now this is not my children, but I watched a child do this, lay on the middle of the living room floor with the entire family sitting around. It was like a show. And it was, they were told not to address it and just to let it happen. Now, when my kids are a little younger, if they would start to do that, I'd say, listen, that's fine if you want to do that, but you need to go do that in your room. Okay.
Yeah. That's what we did. Yeah. I mean, because
nothing wrong with it. It's not weird. It's totally normal.
No, just don't be grabbing your junk while you're in the living room while company's around. Go upstairs and handle that in your own time.
We're also really good at my house about the correct terminology. So I have something really funny.
Okay.
He's going to hate me if he ever hears this when he grows up.
He will.
I love you so much, Henry. You're my favorite boy in the whole world. he, you know, was going up to his room to be alone. And he was up there for a while. And I kind of forgotten why he'd gone up there. I thought he was just playing or whatever. And so this is when he was younger too. Mm-hmm. I yelled up the stairs. I was like, Henry, what are you doing? Playing with my penis.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Good.
Have at it.
All right. Have fun, bud.
Wash your hands when you're done.
Yeah, if you could. It'd be good. It'd be good.
Yep. That's my boy. He's brilliant.
Amy, what'd you learn today?
I learned that it was probably a smart decision to have my children very close together.
Probably.
So the oldest, so Hannah didn't really know what was going on when we brought home another baby.
Yes.
Surprise, you're a big sister. You're not even really talking yet.
I learned that my kid is not the only one who has private time in his room.
Mostly kids.
But, you know, I always thought it was like a teenage thing. I thought that was it. I didn't realize that it was like you're five and doing
that. My mother loves to remind me, oh, you used to do the same thing. Yeah, great, Ma. Thanks. Thanks. That's wonderful. It's normal, okay?
Sure. So that's good. So I learned that, and you learned that, and fantastic. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Pat and Amy. Appreciate it. On iHeartRadio, proudly. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you get a podcast, 315 Live and 315 Live app, 315live.com. Thanks to Rockbox Recording. And thank you for being a friend. Traveled down the road and back again.
Oh, man. We'll be lucky if anybody listens the day after.
Bye.
Bye.